Governor Scott Walker is scheduled to sign Wisconsin's 2-year budget into law this afternoon. Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter Laurel White is with us for the first segment of this hour to highlight some of the 99 partial vetoes that Walker is making. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will welcome any questions you have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Do you have any reaction to this new state budget and the vetoes that Governor Walker is making, including those that he agreed to make to win over support from some GOP senators who are holding out on voting for the state budget? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So are you and Nina waiting for the signing?
I am not going to Nina today, actually, which is a little disappointing. We're sending our Green Bay reporter, I think, because she's a bit closer. So she gets to have the fun of watching the governor sign the budget this afternoon.
Yeah, he is going to be signing the budget at Tuller Elementary School in Nina shortly after noon today. Well, have you read all 99 vetoes?
We got these late yesterday afternoon, and I have read through all of them. I'm not sure I could ace the test on all 99, but I definitely have the highlights.
Well, the one veto that we heard in the state newscast, your story, that's getting maybe most of the attention is the veto that he made on a provision that would have increased funding for school districts that spend the least on their students. Assembly Republicans introduced that with quite a bit of fanfare, but Governor Walker vetoed it. What was his reasoning for that?
Well, he said that this would essentially allow some school districts to raise property taxes without voter input. So school districts right now, if they want more funding, obviously they have to pass a referendum to raise their funding. So this provision in the bill, which is a little bit wonky and complicated to explain, would have allowed schools that spend less than the state average per pupil to raise their spending gradually over the coming years to get them more in line with districts that have passed those referendums to increase school funding.
Yeah. And so how are Assembly Republicans reacting to that veto?
Well, we only got reaction from one Assembly Republican last night, but it was really the Assembly Republican, I think, that a lot of people were most interested in hearing from on this. It was Representative John Nygren, who's the co-chair of the Budget Committee, and he had been a particularly outspoken proponent of this aspect of the budget. It had been, you know, a big priority of Assembly Republicans in general, but I think he had been kind of the spokesperson for it and why lifting these revenue limits was so important in their opinion. So he issued a rather lengthy statement last night. I think it was around 5 or so. And he said that he was, quote, severely disappointed in the governor's decision. And he went on to say that he thinks that there's been a funding disparity in Wisconsin schools because of these revenue limits for more than 20 years, and that this would have helped to kind of mitigate that a little bit, and that the governor's veto will eliminate that possibility and basically continue a funding disparity that Nygren said would have, quote, lasting impacts on the quality of education available to some of our children. So he was talking about, you know, kind of rural districts or districts in part of the state that haven't successfully gotten that referendum approval for higher spending.
Speaking of schools, the Department of Public Instruction wanted Governor Walker to veto about a dozen budget items, but he only vetoed one. He left in place a controversial provision that would change how schools fund special education open enrollment and the special needs scholarship program. Can you explain what's going on here?
Well, this is a really interesting part of the budget, in my opinion, where it's kind of the final stage where organizations and lawmakers reach out and ask for vetoes on specific things that made it through the legislature for the final budget passage, but are particularly engaging to them as lawmakers or departments, like we saw with the Department of Public Instruction. So Tony Evers, who is interestingly running for governor as a Democrat, had submitted, as the head of the Department of Public Instruction, these, I think, 12 veto requests. And so the governor did end up only, you know, honoring one of those, which is, I think, something that happens in this process. We know about the veto negotiations that he made with three Republican senators that got several of their proposed vetoes, their desired vetoes, into this final budget that the governor is going to sign today. But I think that kind of veto negotiation could be safely considered like the last attempt, the last negotiations as part of the state budget process.
Yeah, we have Greg on Facebook who says, are these the vetoes he promised some GOP reps in exchange for their votes? Illegal, unethical, but the attorney general and the state courts are probably not going to do anything about this. Can you very briefly explain the four holdouts on the state budget in the state Senate, and at least three of them decided to vote for the state budget as long as they got these vetoes that they asked for?
Right. So this is a kind of complicated negotiation because Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had said that the Assembly wouldn't come back in to take up any changes to the budget that were approved by the Senate, which kind of blocked the Senate from making any changes. For fear that he would follow through on that statement and then the budget would just kind of be stuck. Mm-hmm. So the only way for senators who weren't happy with the budget to get changes in that would make them support it would be to kind of negotiate these vetoes with the governor. So that's what they did. They couldn't vote yes for the budget without some changes. The vetoes were the only way to get changes, so they did that. They negotiated several things, you know, the immediate repeal of the prevailing wage in Wisconsin on state-funded construction projects, eliminating a $2.5 million study on tolling. So they got quite a bit, and it is something, like we're hearing from that listener, that some people have been frustrated by because it is three Republican senators, three people in the state legislature that exercised quite a bit of power, I think, arguably, in the last days of budget negotiations. So it's something that they say is a result of how the process played out. They wish that the Joint Finance Committee hadn't shut down for a couple weeks as the budget negotiations were ongoing and getting kind of sticky in recent months. So it'll be interesting to see if that's something that crops up again next year because it has, or next budget cycle rather, because it has been, I would say, a topic of discussion and some pushback in the legislature.
So out of the 99 vetoes, Laurel, can you clip off one or two that are either, you know, quirky or you know, or major or anything else that's interesting?
Yeah, so there are several in there that are pretty interesting, I think. I mean, obviously the education spending one is the high-profile one because it was a big budget priority, but other things that the governor is going to do in his veto message, he's going to restore the working families tax credit, which is something that Republican lawmakers approved eliminating in the budget. It's fairly small. It only costs the state about $200 million annually. But it's something that Republican lawmakers had said, not a lot of people use this, so we're going to cut it, take it out of the budget. There have been pushback from Democrats, and the governor restored that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he also vetoed a $5 million cap that was approved in the budget for historic rehabilitation projects, and he lowered that $5 million cap to about $500,000, or exactly $500,000, saying that the $5 million was just too much. The historic rehabilitation program had become too expensive for the state.
Yeah, just a minute or so. Penny on Facebook, is the penalty for owning a hybrid or electric car still in? He didn't veto the increased fees for those vehicles, did he?
No, he didn't. That's still in there. So I believe it's $75 for hybrids and $100 for electric vehicles. Those new fees will be in place after he signs the budget this afternoon.
And according to the AP, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says it's way too early to talk about overriding any of Walker's budget vetoes. It's never happened in the 6+ years that Walker's been governor. Any rumblings? Are you hearing any rumblings from lawmakers about this?
No, not beyond what Speaker Voss said yesterday. I mean, it would be, as he said, unprecedented, at least in recent memory and as far as I know. So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. I mean, the governor did veto one of Assembly Republicans' primary, you know, goals for the budget, one of their kind of marquee things that they accomplished in there. So maybe that's enough for them to reconvene and override his veto on that.
So less than 30 seconds, Governor Walker said he was waiting until after the budget was signed before he would announce intentions to run for governor. When's that going to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometime after 12:20 p.m. today, I guess. We've been waiting months for it, so I think we're getting closer.
Thanks, Laurel, for being with us. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. This is the Ideas Network.